they're saying that people are basically priced out of the housing and the rental market, even so much so to where people are now starting to embrace tiny homes, and that has been normalized. That has been normalized. All right? Make sure that you subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications, and also I appreciate you guys for continuing to hold me down. Let me share this with you really quickly, and then we're going to get up out of here. Actually, let's do it like this real quick.
New tonight, with sky-high home prices and interest rates to match, many first-time home buyers are being priced out of the market.
So tonight, KINZ 5's Jeremy Baker takes us to a subdivision on the Far East Side. Apparently, it is bucking the trend to make the American dream come to life.
You think of tiny homes, you might think of this 30-foot tiny downstairs sleeper for $52,900. Or this Canada Goose tiny RV for $119,000. Or this cute little thing called Tiny Prize Big Love for $27,000.
Let me tell y'all what those are. Those are trailers. Those are trailers. Nothing more. They trailers. And you know what they used to be calling people that lived in those places? In a trailer home and a trailer park, and they just so happened to be white? Y'all know what they used to call them. Y'all know what they used to call them. When you put it on a hitch and you can drive off with it, but instead you decided to sit it on the ground and put some flowers around it, they used to call those trailer parks. Now we've rebranded. You know how they don't call them homeless anymore? They call them unhoused. Or they don't say, oh man, he killed somebody. They say, oh no, he's been unalived. Now we've changed it because we wanted to be a little bit more inclusive. Remember, we still got diversity, equity, and inclusion going on with our language. It's not trailers anymore. You got it, Lorenzo. It's not trailers anymore. Now it's called tiny homes. It's still your home. It's just smaller. And there's different versions of it. But people are clamoring for it. Clamoring for it.
Wait a minute. 96 square feet? Let's find something bigger.
You asked for it, and here it is. The most affordable home in San Antonio, Texas. Let's check it out.
It's called the Elm Trails Subdivision on San Antonio's Far East Side, just off Walsham Road. Just how big are these homes with a one-car driveway, narrow front, and a full backyard?
This is going to be a two-story home. It's going to be over 600 square feet.
Okay, a little larger than the max of 400 square feet that typically classifies a tiny home.
Look at those places. Hold on. I'm not hating. I understand that people got to do what they got to do. These cookie cutter subdivisions and neighborhoods, that all of the places look the same. They all the same color. They all got the same builder. They're all throwing them up in record amount of time at the same time. They all got the same inspectors. I just can't do it. I personally just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm not built for it. I would rather just stay with my people. We can all stay together, me, my brother, my mom, whatever. We just all going to stay together and we just going to party together. I'm not that desperate to feel like I need to be out on my own. And again, I respect everybody else's decisions. I think that we are all in a different space in our life, but I'm just not that desperate. I just can't do it. You live right around a block from there, AJ Wise. I'm going to have to go and check it out.
Larger than the max of 400 square feet that typically classifies a tiny home.
It's enough room for me, and he doesn't complain.
Nafi Johnson moved into the subdivision with her son after looking into downsizing.
Especially for the times that we're living in, and everything's so skyrocket high.
The home includes a full kitchen, fenced-in backyard, and a sweet second-story loft. But to Johnson, it's all about the privacy.
He gonna have to stop with this green screen, big dog. Stop. Stop with the green screen.
It's better than, to me, an apartment complex, because it's your own, and you can have your own space.
Credit News Research studied purchasing power adjusted wages and starter home prices and found in the U.S. it takes close to 4 years of income to afford a globally benchmarked starter home. That's a 636 square foot two bedroom home with a price of $287,000.
Is that how big regular homes are? 686 square feet? Huh. And $300,000 for that? Man, let me tell you something, bro. I'm about to be a force in the community. Now that I done built the first one and we starting to break ground on another ones and we buying up all the land that's around us, let me tell you something, bro. I'm building regular people homes and I'm going to give it to them for regular people prices. Yep, you can be paid. You can be taken care of. You can be benefited. You can do all of that and you don't have to gouge the people. And I just think that this is finesse. I'm building regular people homes. And I'm going to put them in there. And when I say regular people, they 3-4 bedrooms, three and a half bathrooms, a full finished basement, and I'm putting people in them joints. And they're going to be affordable. You still got to qualify. You still can't have no evictions. You still got to be able to pay rent. You still got to be able to take care of business. But I'm putting people in a real house, man. Like how we used to do back in the day. Yeah, man, we not messing around. All you're going to have an office, open kitchen, all of that. And we putting our own money up and we ain't putting them in the hood. They're going to be in the nice places with good schools. I think that you can change a community, but you just need people that got money to start putting their money up and doing the right thing. Cuz it's got to be a balance between capitalism and taking advantage of people. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that I don't have to do people dirty. And here's the thing. When you do people well, they never want to leave. They'll stay there for a long time. I have never raised the rent on one tenant. I have never raised the rent on any tenant that I've ever had, no matter how long that they stay there. Because our stuff ain't financed. We not worried about the bank. We ain't worried about no loans, adjustable arms, none of that stuff. We pay our stuff. We build it from scratch. And then we put people in them and we create great communities. And so I just think that we got to start rethinking it differently. But it's got to start with the entrepreneurs. It's got to start with the legislators, too. You know what I'm saying? We're going to put people in real homes, stuff that they can stay in for a long time and actually be able to immerse themselves in a school system so they don't have to just adjust and jump from school district to school district because they can't afford to stay there. And so now the kids got to have different friends everywhere that they go, like they a military kid and they go on to different places. I just believe that you can do it differently. I do. And that does not mean that you're not supposed to take care of business and pay your responsibilities or whatever, but I'm going to put people in real homes, man. It's too much space. It's too much land. It's too much opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Look at this. Look at this nonsense.
It would take more than 5.5 years of income to afford a median-priced home at $431,000. And out of the 25 countries included in the study, the U.S. had the third most affordable homes, only behind Turkey and Belgium.
As soon as you walk upstairs and you're able to see the huge loft area, it completely changes the way that you feel about the entire home.
Delilah Sue decided to rent one of the homes for herself and her two boys. This is Jace.
I like the backyard and everything. I like the front yard also.
I think it's something you would definitely want to buy as a starter home and then maybe look into flipping it later on.
And as you can see, they're not done. They're building dozens more. We peeked into one home still under construction, and the inside is a blank slate. You can make it your own, just like this owner did with the dark subway tile backsplash and painted accent walls, or this one with this sweet vine-covered porch.
You know how cheap it is to put a vine-covered porch in? You know how much more they're going to charge for you to do that? How cheap it is to put in a vine-covered porch or put in an accent wall or a different backsplash? Come on, man. Come on, bro.
But it's affordable.
For more about these small homes and other tiny homes for sale, we have the links with this story on Get.
And people are clamoring for this crap. They literally clamoring for it. So messed up, bro. It's messed up. I think that business owners and entrepreneurs and people that have resources, I don't think that, you know, creating homeless shelters and stuff. See, this is what I stand on. Let me tell you what I stand on, and then I'm going to get y'all out of here. I don't think the solution, because everybody goes to the extreme. They always say, well, everything is all priced out, and so the greedy people overprice everything because they're trying to make as much money as they can so that they can, you know, buy a private plane. I don't need a private plane. I could just NetJet, or I could, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to own it. I could just buy it for, you know, buy the flights that I need when I need to fly it, or I could fly commercial and just fly first class. But then on the flip side of it, you know, when they then put money into a community, people say, oh my God, why they got those expensive places? They should have built a homeless shelter. Homeless shelters don't help anybody because, you know, it doesn't create a pathway. Or they could have created more housing for the homeless. It doesn't create a pathway for people to stand on their own 2 feet. So then you have to put more social services into place, which then creates higher taxes for the people in order for them to be able to support more Section 8 housing. That's not the solution. The solution is this. You have to have partnerships between legislators and business owners, which is why it's important for us to be great networkers, have great relationships, and then understand why both can benefit, right? You can benefit by doing your job effectively, getting the votes that you want because you're working on the behalf of the people. And what happens is you create the space and the opportunity for the business owners that want to do business the right way to then create the housing that is affordable that allows for people to continue to get themselves out of poverty. So it's not giving them something for free, but what you're doing is you're making it reasonable enough for you to make a profit and you not suffering, while at the same time allowing for them to continue to educate themselves, become more successful, put themselves in a position of power, become successful. It's ways and it's solutions for you to do it, but we have to think of capitalism as a vehicle. And let's be clear, capitalism is good. It is the thing that has driven more people out of poverty than ever before. But when you have extremities in everything and people can't have a balance, then that's when you start to see communities fail, people get priced out, then you got to gentrify it, so on and so forth. So I think that it has to be a balance. But in order to have that balance, we got to have great legislators. We have to have honest people that actually want to do business the right way. People that have a capitalistic mindset, but at the same time don't want to take advantage of people. And then people that don't want to price gouge, while at the same time having healthy consumers that want to do the right thing. You vet them effectively so that you create great communities. And then that's what naturally raises the property values, while at the same time allowing for people to be able to raise their children in what we would call a traditional home. But nobody wants to have that type of conversation because everybody just wants to be against each other and they want to clash. We in a versus instead of being in a community. And that's the problem. We in a versus instead of being in a community. We going to get there. We going to get there. So that's just my opinion personally. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm right, but I think that with money, with resources, you also need to develop the character also, because great character is the thing that then gives you the power to actually yield or wield that power in the proper way versus just becoming richer.